Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury. I'm happy to hear that you love my page because I love yours. And there are two major themes that really have always drawn me to your work. And I really want to dive into them today because they've just always felt so relatable for me as a dietitian. And the first is your calling of, if that's the right way to put this, but of making dance accessible. It's the first thing. And the second thing that I want us to dive into, just to give everybody this broad, you know, overview of what we might chat about today, is really building a trajectory of your career that doesn't necessarily look like everybody's career in the dance world, and building this very unique fulfillment as a dancer. So let me hear a little bit from you.
It was like COVID had hit. I was in Melbourne, Australia. The lockdowns were insane in Melbourne. And I just graduated. I wanted a job in the company, but of course there were no jobs. And so I wasn't going to give up. I love ballet. It's everything to me. It's my life. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to give up. So I continued to do ballet classes in my apartment. I would even go to the park sometimes. So already I was starting to learn how to dance outside. I miss performing. Motivation was getting harder because performing was what inspired me. And I was talking to my mom about it. It's like, I just miss it so much. My mom was like, well, why don't you perform on the street? And I was like, okay. And so I prepared like a dance, like a dying swan, which is what I mostly do on the street. And I specifically choreographed it for the street because obviously you're on unusual floorings and stuff. Like I don't do any jumps, like that kind of thing. And I'm careful about how many releves, like all of that. And so I choreographed it. And then once the lockdown ended, I went out and I started doing it. And I loved it. And so I kept doing it.
Yeah, it's so special. And I was watching a recent interview of yours, and the word accessibility is what really hit home for me, because one thing that I've always found as a dietitian, specifically for dancers and for the dance world, is just the lack of access to healthy and supportive information when it comes to health and wellness of a dancer. You know, so it's always been something that's very important to me, is to provide dancers with accessible information. I do this with my blog, dancenutrition.com. I don't mean to make this a plug. I'm just understanding that there's such a relatable concept here in regards to wanting to bring, you know, the similar passion, but to all audiences. I heard you in your interview say, you know, I want to show this to construction workers, to anybody who's literally just on the street.
And for me, that's why I keep doing it, because, you know, it puts a smile on people's faces or a tear, but, you know, like at least like it has them stop for a moment and like feel and really like just have that moment of stillness, which I think is really important, especially in today's world. But yeah, I totally understand what you mean about accessibility with nutrition as well. Like, I mean, of course, like growing up in the dance world, I think something that I've always wished and something that I've always talked about is I wish more dancers saw themselves as athletes, you know, like, you know, you see athletes and they go to their dietitians and like they know how to fuel their bodies. And I just feel like, yeah, you're right. Dancers don't have that accessibility to that knowledge as much as athletes do, which is crazy because we are also athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. Dancers are balancing two huge things here, right? Artistry and athleticism. And the major difference that we see between the athletic world and the dance world is that nutrition is provided from the higher ups much more commonly within the athletic world. They just have the budget for it. Whereas in the dance world, they don't. Time is of the essence. Financial constraints. So bringing nutrition to your students, to your company members is just, unfortunately, it's just not something that we see. I would say, there are some initiatives, and I definitely have seen over my time working with dancers an increase in the amount of inquiries regarding like how can I bring this information to my dancers? But in comparison to what we see with the Olympic committees and the athletic world from a general perspective, there's really no comparison. So I agree, just bringing that to dancers is so
Yeah,
incredibly
lots
important,
of
especially with all the
pressure.
pressure that dancers
Always.
are put under, right? How do you continue to stay motivated with your work?
It's always been my dream to get into a ballet company, like always. And then the more I kept busking, and I then every now and again I'll get shows like in theaters. People would reach out to me and be like, "Oh, hey, can you come to this show?" And so I'll get to go back to rehearsals. I get to go do that more like company life. And I love it. I love being in rehearsals. But I think for me, when I really started to realize I want to keep busking is on the performance days. I love performing. And it was when I finally got to perform in a theater again that I realized that I preferred performing on the street. I preferred being out there and connecting with people one-on-one and being able to see them and being able to connect with people like who you never would usually connect with, people who have never seen ballet before, and like little girls whose parents probably never ever thought to take them to the ballet. Like those moments, like they're absolutely amazing, and they're what motivate me. There are definitely like times when I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to go walking out on the street." Like you never know what's going to happen. You get people like saying dumb stuff, and you get people like laughing, not as much anymore, but like when I go out there in my tutu, everyone is watching me. Everyone, before I've even set up, before I'm even dancing, everyone is watching me when I'm out there in my tutu. And so sometimes I'm just tired. I'm like, I don't know if I want all that attention right now. But it's when I remember those moments where I can connect with people that I'm like, no, I love this. This is a really cool thing that I'm doing, and I love it, and I want to keep sharing it with people.
Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of that feels relatable just as a, again, as a, for me being a sole practitioner with my own work and having to feel this pressure to show up constantly, even if it's just on social media, connecting with my audience can feel very like some days I'm like, oh, I really don't feel like putting anything out. But I do, for the most part, get myself to do it because it only takes one message that I get from a dancer that's like, I needed to hear this today. This reminded me to eat my lunch today or eat my snack. So I get that, those little bits of motivation. How would you say it is to continue to keep your own self within the studio? I assume that you still take classes just to keep up with your technique and similar to freelance work.
The thing I struggle with the most is when I travel, it can be really hard to find ballet classes that I really enjoy, and that are close, that are at a good time that I need them to be. I mean, it's important that I'm busking in like good times and good locations. And so sometimes that doesn't match up with when the ballet classes are. And so it's always been a bit difficult to me actually fitting that into my schedule. And oftentimes I have to motivate myself to do a ballet class on my own, which can be quite difficult. It's much better being in a classroom situation where you've got other dancers and a teacher supporting you to be able to keep working hard. I often find like that is actually one of the things that I'm still working on, still trying to fit ballet classes and busking into my schedule. And I almost wonder if I could do more of like a on an off season, like where I do like a lot of busking, I just like m body manage, and then I do like a lot of classes to like really up the technique. So that is something I'm still figuring out. But I'm gonna get there. Yeah, it's definitely something that I'm working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're all on our own journeys in regards to still just continuing to figure things out. And it sounds like
Yeah.
you're still at, the beginning of building this trajectory. And
Yeah, I
it
love that
really,
school.
yeah, it's a beautiful
Yeah.
thing. Actually, I saw that you trained at Ballet Academy East.
Oh, cool.
Me too. Actually, I danced for many years with
Yeah,
ballet.
amazing technique.
So talk to us about one of the biggest challenges aside from, well, it sounds like one of your bigger challenges is really figuring out how you're balancing being in the studio with also the work that you're doing. Any challenges in regards to fueling your body while navigating all of these scheduling shifts?
Like food, like making sure to schedule it. Like how I work is I will just like pack my schedule and I'm going to do this day. And actually, the best times that I've had the best eating habits is when I've scheduled in my food. So I'm like, this is when I'll have lunch. This is when I'll make it, or this is when I'll prep it. And it's just for me, like remembering to put it in, because I think like oftentimes we forget that that's something we actually have to do, and it takes time. And so just like scheduling it in is something that I've always found like really helps me.
Yeah, actually, a lot of dancers. So, I'm a certified counselor of intuitive eating, and a lot of dancers will translate intuitive eating as being I need to eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm full. But it's not just that, right? Because as dancers, we're busy, we're active, we're not necessarily feeling hunger cues throughout the day. So, I'm often actually most of the work that I do with dancers is what I call proactive fueling, building a very pro or being proactive with building a flexible eating routine that we're fitting into your day just so that we can remember those baseline nourishment needs of getting meals and snacks.
Snacks throughout the day as a dancer is really important. Light things that like has to have a lot of energy. And also like I feel like with intuitive eating for me, like it's more of like a if I have just done a massive dance class and I feel like a chocolate milk, that's what my body needs. So that's what I'm gonna go and get. Like I'm not gonna be like, oh, how much is this and how much is that? It's like, no, your body's telling you've just done a lot of exercise, you've exerted yourself a lot. If your body thinks you need that chocolate milk, then go and get it, because you want to keep dancing, you want to keep moving, and your body said, well, that's what I need to be able to do that.
Absolutely. Moving through food fears is a huge thing for dancers. And learning to understand the communications that your body is sending out. I often say that dancers are always so hesitant and fearful around this word cravings, when in fact, cravings are really just our bodies communicating to us. What we need oftentimes, those are foods that are higher in carbs because our body needs the pick me up in energy. So I totally agree.
You're exhausted, you're heavy, and so something that your body is going to be able to use a bit easier to give you more energy. Because like even if it's like right after class and you have that chocolate milk, it gives your body like that moment to like get the energy it needs, and then once you're settled down, then you have energy to eat, and so like you can have a bigger meal. So I find that that's what works for me.
Right, let the adrenaline settle down a bit, but also give your body those recovery tools. And then, when the time is accessible, going back to that word, making more effort for like a mindful eating experience when it's accessible. So, really balancing these convenient options with those times where we can put more, time and effort into eating. Let's just talk about balance a little bit. I am curious, you are navigating a lot through your day and just in the very unique line of work and trajectory of your career. So, how would you or how do you balance life? Ballet is important and it's everything. We love it and it's a huge part of everything we do. But if we become hyperfixated, it's so easy to experience burnout.
What I've found is that when I'm doing my best with balance, it's when I'm scheduling in downtime. It's like I never schedule in downtime, and it's something that I've been getting quite upset with myself recently, because I keep telling myself like, no way, like you need to schedule in this downtime because you're overworking yourself, and you're getting to a point where it's when you overwork yourself, you start to struggle with motivation because your body is like struggling. And so for me, it's always been better like when I've scheduled in a ballet class, when I've scheduled in busking, when I've scheduled in my Instagram time to like, edit things and post and reply to comments, and then when I've scheduled in my downtime. And then always for me as well, always having a morning and a night routine to like keep it all consistent. Because with travel, you need consistency. So for me, with traveling, I need a morning routine, I need a night routine, and I need to be very strict about doing those routines when I'm traveling. Keeps a sound mind.
Yeah, it sounds like building in and going back to that word being proactive, right, at building in structure into your day is allowing for you to navigate what could be the experiences of not having structure. Because one thing that we do see with traveling is that anything can be thrown our way, you know, with flight delays, flight cancellations, whatever it might be, just being in New York City and having issues with the subway, right? Something like that. So it sounds like you're building in structure while also maybe even subconsciously realizing that you're navigating through times that could actually be very much out of your control.
Sometimes things always take longer than you think they're going to as well, which I think for me is like often what I, when I find in times in my life when I'm not getting the downtime is because I've scheduled things that I didn't realize were going to take that long. And especially like when I'm busking, like I think a busking session is going to take 30 minutes because I'll go out there, I'll dance and I'll go home. But if it only takes 30 minutes, then that means I've taken out what I love about it. And when I'm out there, you know, I'm talking to people and I'm connecting with people and I'm taking photos of little girls. So like that always makes things go a little bit longer. Time's interesting. And then, yeah, what you said with like New York, like sometimes, you know, the train's delayed. And so you just have to sit there for a while. And that's actually something I learned recently is that whenever I found out now that I've been catching public transport in a lot of locations I've gone to, I will work on my phone because, you know, I have my phone, I always have it with me, and so I always have it there to be able to work. So I'll be editing and I'll be replying and I'll be doing all of the things I need to do. But recently what I found is like some of those moments I actually need to not do anything. Like I actually need to take that moment, like, oh, the train is delayed, let's take a moment for myself, let's put on some music that I really like, let's just sit here and let's have a quiet moment, because they're really, really important.
100%. Two things that you said here that I think I just want to pick apart because they're really important to reiterate. The first is I really like this perspective on you realizing, you know, if a busking session is only taking 30 minutes, are we actually continuing to hold on to what we love about that, you know, that part of your life? So I think it's really interesting. And it's almost how for some dancers, this happened to with me when I was dancing full time. I became too obsessive with the amount I was dancing, wanting to do more and more and more, that I lost touch with why I was dancing. So I think it's really important that you're checking back in with, you know, why am I doing this? Do I really want it to take 30 minutes? Like, am I really holding on to that? Or is there more of a meaning behind what I'm doing? So that was really a beautiful point and such an incredible perspective. And then the other thing was being okay with doing nothing. I struggled with this too.
And I struggle like with the idea of meditation. So I think like it's hard to motivate myself to do stuff like that. But I found I found things that I can motivate myself to do that are nothing. Like, for example, what I said, like with music and stuff. And just like really just sitting and listening to music, it's a kind of meditation to be able to just sit there quietly and just let your mind do what it needs to do.
Absolutely. Well, Bianca, my final question for you to wrap this up is, how would you define what it means to be the healthy dancer?
I think so often as a dancer, we put the opinions of the teachers and the people around us before our own. And I think that being a healthy dancer is always coming back to yourself. It's always thinking, well, how do I want to dance? How do I want to feel? You know, and well, what do I need right now? We give so much of ourselves every day in a ballet class and to our artistic directors and things like that. And even for me, when I go out there and I busk, I give so much of myself because I want to be able to give that to people. And sometimes we really need to take that moment. And I think more often we take that moment to think like, well, what do I need? And am I looking after myself? Because you're, you know, everyone is important and you are definitely important as well. So I think that's what it means to me.
I love that. It's so true. I recently, very, very recently, am getting into a little bit of performing again. And some of my friends are like, oh, we want to come to your performance. We want to come see you. And I'm like, I actually don't necessarily think I want anybody coming to this performance right now. I feel like I need to do this for myself because when I left performing, I felt just what you're saying is that I was so much of it was dependent on what everybody else thought of it. And it was less for me. So I feel like I need to regain that part of me that I had lost years ago and want to build back. But thank you so much. It was such beautiful insight, Bianca. You are such a light for the dance world.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.